the incredible life in Christ. Turn to the back of your program. You'll be all be able to follow along. The text is there. There are some fill-ins, our growth groups, many of you, some 180 or so gather each week in a home or here at the church to study these scriptures again, to read and to reflect and bear down even deeper. And it's been what a tremendous journey. Your pastors, the four of us and our wives get together every few weeks as well. We do the same thing you do. And each time we just glean great insights from the Word of God. We're looking forward to this study of the incredible life in Christ. I'd like to read, then come back and to share with you four things that Paul states are ours. If you are in Christ, one of the things you'll know is you'll know that you are in Christ. If you're hesitating today and not sure, I'm glad that you're here. The Lord wants you to know you can be in Him. It's a gift that's offered, but it must be received. Let's take a look at this text and go and come back and look at the four things that are ours in Christ. Number one, chapter 8. There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. For the law of the Spirit of life has set you free in Christ Jesus from the law of sin and death. For God has done what the law, weakened by the flesh, could not do by sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin. He condemned sin in the flesh in order that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit set their minds on the things of the Spirit. For to set the mind on the flesh is death, but to set the mind on the Spirit is life and peace. For the mind that is set on the flesh is hostile to God, for it does not submit to God's law. Indeed, it cannot. Those who are in the flesh cannot please God. You, however, are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if in fact the Spirit of God dwells in you. Anyone who does not have the Spirit of Christ does not belong to Him. But if Christ is in you, although the body is dead because of sin, the Spirit is life because of righteousness. If the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, He who raised Christ Jesus from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through His Spirit who dwells in you. As we look at verse 1, we see there an interesting statement. There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Therefore, you know, Paul knows he deserves condemnation. He knows he deserves judgment. The penalty of his sin is rebellion against God. But Paul is jubilant, knowing he has a Savior who delivered him from all his sin past, present, and future. That's why the word therefore in Romans 8:1 is there. It says, now therefore. The question we need to ask when we see a therefore is, what is that therefore? Then you go back. You go back and you examine some things. And we could examine the first 7 chapters of Romans and walk through that again. Would you like to do that this morning? It's a real nervous laugh. Not one person raised their hand. Wow. Wow. I don't know what that says about you. I want to do it. But if we just go back a couple of verses in chapter 7, what do we see? Paul in verse 15, for I do not understand my own actions, for I do not do what I want, but I do the very thing I hate. And we saw last week, a believer in Christ struggles with that. This is the regenerated Paul, the sanctified Paul, the great apostle Paul, sharing in a present continuous I. He says nearly 24 times or more in chapter 7 alone. And he says, the things I want to do, the things that I know to do now, because I'm not following the law, I'm following Jesus. He has sealed me. He has called me. He has redeemed me. I am His and He is mine. And that is who I am now. But I still see this war, this struggle inside of me, the members of my body, the flesh, that want to rise up and come against the real me now, the Spirit who is in me, who leads my life, who teaches me. And he just describes it's open, authentic, transparent dialogue, letting us know. And I still struggle. The man who I really am, the things I desire to do, I don't. But what do? The things I hate. An unbeliever doesn't hate his sin. They hate the consequence, the price paid. They don't hate it. A believer who stumbles, who gets caught back into his sin, hates it. Even while he's doing it, he hates it. And then after that aftermath, he hates it. And so Paul would cry out in verse 24, "Wretched man that I am." And we saw last week that word literally comes from a Greek military term used in his day of one who is exhausted and tired from fighting the enemy in battle after battle after battle. And he says, that's who I am. I'm a wretched man, but I'm not giving up. I'm fighting this battle against my flesh and the sin that rises up to enslave me again and to capture me again, that I know is not who I am now anymore in Christ. Oh, I'm not going to give up. I'm going to discipline my body in the power of Christ, with the help of Christ, because now I know and I see I have new desires. And then he says, who will deliver me from this? Who will do it from this body of death? Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ, our Lord. He knows the answer before he even cries out. And so do you and I. So when you are stuck and you are on the mat and you know this is not who I am anymore, I hate this. At times, the last thought that will come is to cry out to Jesus. Can I declare to you today, will you remember these words today? Will you remember the word of God and Paul? And will you just say, Jesus, you will redeem me. You have redeemed me. You are my deliverer. And he'll meet you right there. He'll hear that confession. He'll hear that heart that says, I hate what I've just done. And all of a sudden, there'll be a washing and a cleansing, as 1 John 1, 9 and 10 says. He's the only one who can do it. He's righteous and just to do it. So, number one, a life lived in Christ suffers no condemnation. There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. We're set free from the penalty of sin and spiritual death, the scripture says. That's our justification. Therefore, because of Christ, what he has done, you and I, we know we deserve it, right? We'll run from it. We'll give excuses. We'll give reasons like we're before a judge all the time. And sometimes it's just us. Or sometimes it's, you know, our spouse or our parents or our children or our friend or our pastor. You know, we'll just, I'm guilty. But you want to know something? For those who are in Christ, there's no condemnation. Now there isn't, because what Christ did. That word condemnation means judgment. Means you've been found guilty and there's a penalty and it's spiritual death. It says, not anymore. If you're in Christ, past, present, even future, Christ, he's delivered us. For the law of the Spirit of life has set you free in Christ Jesus. That word law means the principle, the power, the authority of this new life that God has declared, that the Spirit gives to you, being born of the Spirit. Jesus said that in John 3:3, right? I mean, he says, you're born once, that's good. But you cannot get into the kingdom of heaven unless you are born again. And this time, he says, it's spiritual. And how does that occur? It's not through your church. It's not through your baptism. It's not through rules and regulations and sacraments. It's not because you're here today or you're in a Bible study this week. It's in Christ. Belief in Christ and what he did. He paid the penalty. The law was righteous. What God said about rebellion against him. For God has done what the law, weakened by the flesh, could not do. God has shown that his standard, the law, it's perfect. It's holy and it's attainable, but not by man, but by the God-man it was. And it's all its fullness. He didn't sin. By sending his own son in the likeness of sinful flesh and sin, he condemned sin in the flesh. Jesus was judged. Jesus was condemned in our place as our substitute, in order that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us. So if you by faith alone have believed in Him, submitted to Him, surrendered to Him, simply by saying, I believe what He did was for me. It's by grace I'm saved, not of works, so I can't boast. It's what He did, God says. The condemnation placed on Christ, the penalty placed on Christ, was as your substitute. You're set free. You're set free. But you're free. So don't live anymore as if you're in bondage. Be like a Paul. Cry out because you hate it. And realize you're set free. You're set free. Why won't the believer be condemned? Let's take a look at what Peter says. And then Paul back again in Romans 6. Jesus was condemned for us. Peter writes, knowing that you were ransomed from the futile ways inherited from your forefathers. And whatever they might be. Empty ways. Whatever that was passed on. For some of us, it may have been a religious way. For some of us, it was a vice. Whatever it was, they were empty if they did not include Christ. Not with perishable things such as silver and gold. We were you ransomed. But with the precious blood of Christ, like that of a lamb without blemish or spot. Ransom. You and I are kidnapped. We're enslaved. We're taken over. We're born that way. David's cried about it. From my mother's womb, I was conceived. And so, meaning him, born with a bent to rebel against authority, beginning with his mother and father. Really, God. Do a test. You have a child, a baby, an infant. You have a grandchild, a niece or a nephew. You fed him. The diaper is clean. You played with him. And all of a sudden, you put him down and you walk away. What do you get? Wah, wah, wah. What is that? Me. I hold me. But I got a life. I got to do this. I got to make your next meal. Me. You see it in a child. All their needs are met. And yet they'll cry. God says, your greatest need has been met. And we can still cry. And we can still whine. Ransomed. Enslaved. You've been set free. Jesus paid the price, the greatest price. It wasn't silver and gold. It was with His life. His blood was shed. He gave His life and He poured it out for you and me. We celebrated the Lord's Supper communion last week, and it was so meaningful to remember what those elements represent. Paul would say, for the wages of sin in Romans 6 earlier is death. Many of you work hard. You go to your boss at the end of the week and he hands you a check or he puts it in your bank account. And what do you say? Oh, no, that's too much. You work hard, you sweat, you do your job, you show up and you receive what? A wage. You know what God says? You sin. The wages of sin is death. You earned it. You earned it. And if you're here today, not me, John, I don't sin. Then can I tell you there's a blindness over your heart and in your mind. You don't understand what sin is. It's missing God's mark, God's standard, rebellion against Him. In the smallest ways or the greatest of ways. Then you're not in Christ yet. But you can be when you recognize, oh my, I'm the sinner. I'm the one who's kidnapped. My sin, I was born into it, and He ransomed Himself. He gave Himself for me. But the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus, our Lord. It's a gift. Well, what do I got to do? Got to go to church? Got to be baptized? No! You believe it's a gift. Will you receive it? To those who receive Him, to those who believe on His name, He gives the right to become children of God, born not of natural means or human decision, but born of God. Secondly, a life lived in Christ fulfills the righteousness of the law. And I pondered that. I thought about that. A few times in the scripture, it talks about what is the righteousness of the law. In the New Testament, it says to love. Oh, nobody anything except to love them. To love our neighbor. And as you and I walk in the Spirit, we'll be led by Him in doing that. In order that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. So how can we do that? The key is we walk, keeping in step with the Spirit of God. The book of Galatians, chapter 5, 13 through 16, shares with us in a very live example that every single one of us, hopefully you can be honest and transparent, say, I identify with this. For you were called to freedom, brothers. It's writing to believers. Only do not use your freedom as an opportunity for the flesh. And the flesh is a biblical word that means for self-centered purposes. For what you want. For what you want to see happen. For what makes you comfortable. But through love, serve one another. For the whole law is fulfilled in one word. I love what Paul says. He says one word and then he shares like five or six. That's what I do. I go, hey, one last word. And I go on for an hour. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. Huh. But if you bite and devour one another, watch out that you are not consumed by one another. But I say, walk by the Spirit and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. The flesh says, I'm owed that. I have rights. I desire this. Feed me. Give it to me. Me, me, me. But the Spirit says, the Spirit of Christ says love doesn't make it about themselves. Love esteems others more highly than themselves. Love breaks every wall of prejudice, every bias, every self-centered part of our being. Biblical, Jesus, Christ-like love does that. And that is not our nature, my friends. That is a fruit of the spiritual nature. That's what He does. And that's what He imparts and makes alive in us. That sincerely, we can love people without manipulation. For no desire to get something from them. We love. Because Christ loved us. And we could give Him nothing. We offered Him nothing. And He says, now if you're in me, my Spirit is in you. You keep in step with my Spirit. You can love and fulfill the law. To love your neighbor as yourself. Thirdly, the incredible life in Christ. A life lived in Christ, that person sets their mind on the things that the Spirit teaches in the Scripture, in the Bible. And that results in inner peace and a life that's pleasing to God. Let's look at verse 5. Those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh. We get it, right? The flesh are body parts. That's what that means, the members of our body, our eyes, our hands, our sexual organs, our feet. It says, hey, listen to me. I want to do this. And you know, every single part, our bodies in and of themselves, they're not sin. We can use every one of our body parts to please God, to honor God. And every single one of those body parts can be used to displease, to dishonor, to show hostility toward God. But a life lived in Christ, that person sets their mind on Christ and on His way and what the Spirit teaches us through the Word of God. And there's strength there. There's insight there. There's power there. There's help there. There's warning there. Every single moment as we walk in the Spirit. But those who live according to the Spirit set their minds on the things of the Spirit. For to set the mind on the flesh is death. You and I know that. It leads to guilt, right? It leads to paying the piper, right? Death. And you know it leads to separation from God. If we're not in Christ but just living in the flesh, we will constantly be in that hamster wheel. It doesn't change. We get off because you know what? We've learned some things for a season. And then we're getting back on either that same area or some new area. It's never ending. But if we're in Christ, something different happens. But to set the mind on the Spirit is life and peace. For the mind that is set on the flesh is hostile to God. for it does not submit to God's law. This law of love. Loving Christ, loving others. Indeed, it cannot. Those who are in the flesh cannot please God. So if we're not in Christ, we can't please God for many years. Because of the moral upbringing I had, being went to church, I went away to college, and I never darkened the doors of a church because I did what I wanted to. I lived in the flesh, 110%. But I'd feel that, you know, just ucky about that. And I'd go back home Long Island and visit with my parents. I'd try and do things. I'd go to church. I'd try to walk through those things. And in my mind, I'm looking to do things. I want to please God. Having no clue. I wasn't pleasing God. I was appeasing the guilt. But it only got deeper and deeper and deeper. Until it was just a heavy weight. And then Jesus lifted it through simple faith and belief in Him. Notice Jesus speaking in John 14. Here's a picture of the Trinity at work. Jesus says to His disciples who gathered that night, "These things I have spoken to you while I'm still with you." He was with them physically. But the Helper, that's the word parakletos. Para means coming alongside, parachute, paralegal, paramedic, somebody who comes alongside. Kletos means helper, comforter. But the Paracletus, the helper, the Holy Spirit, now He's named, whom the Father will send in My name, He will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I've said to you. Can you imagine that? So the things is, Jesus spoke with them, taught them for 3.5 years. I mean, imagine the words that came out of His mouth. This is God. And as He walked with them, we could see they forgot so much. But He said, when that Spirit comes, it's going to be the brightest computer chip you can imagine. He's going to teach you and remind you of the things that I said and did and give you application. So peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives, do I give to you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid. And that's the Spirit of God. Notice what He says, though. He will come. He will teach. And so we set our minds on the Spirit, the things that He wants to teach us. He's now in us. He's dwelt in us. You know, one of the best indicators of whether or not we are setting our minds on the Spirit on a regular basis, daily, God, His truth and His promises, is that what's our fear and anxiety quoting every day? He says, "I give you peace. My peace I give you." In other words, He says, in this world, and He says in the next few verses, in this world you're going to have trouble. Stuff is going to come at you. Stuff will happen inside of you. He goes, "I get it. I know it. I know trouble," Jesus says. "But take heart. I've overcome the world. I know how to deal with it. I'm placing My Spirit in you." He's a Spirit of life. He's a Spirit of peace. I give you a peace that nothing in this world can give you. You know, the stuff that we think gives us peace actually numbs us, right? It numbs us because of the trouble, the things that we're afraid of. He's saying there's a key there. If you will keep in step, if you will walk with the Spirit in the Word, Jesus says that I have authored, and you chew on that, and you discuss that with others. When the trouble happens, you would have strengthened the Spirit in you. You would have fed Him what He loves to eat, truth, My promises, My Word. When the trouble comes, you'll have somebody responding to when that knock of trouble comes at the door. It won't be you. It will be the Spirit of God who will bring up a memory, a thought, a truth of what Jesus said and did. And I'll say, "Let Me lead. Say this, do this." And most of the time it's, "Don't say that. Don't go there." That's the Spirit in us. And a person who lives their life in Christ, that's the opportunity they have. That's what's before them. And as we close, a life lived in Christ yields to the indwelling Spirit and belongs to Jesus. There's security here. There's confidence here. What does he say in verse 9? You, however, are not in the flesh, but in the spirit. Now, let me clarify. That doesn't mean you and I don't stumble and at times get in the flesh, that we allow the parts of our body to control and we do follow. Paul talked about that. Sometimes he says, I feel like I'm sold out to the flesh again, though I know I'm ransomed. I know I'm set free. But it feels that way because I know so much. I've been so close to Jesus. Oh, I hate this. But praise be to God. But he is saying to those in Rome, believers, I know you're not in the flesh. You're in the spirit. If, in fact, the Spirit of God dwells in you. Important word. Jesus uses it in John 15, describes, you know, abiding, remaining, being comfortable. I almost brought in this morning this, what would you call them, honey? Those pants that I have, the checkered ones. Flannel sweats. And this T-shirt, once it was a T-shirt, it's holy now, if you get my drift. You know, I can get home. I'm meeting my family. I'm saying hello to my honeys. I got three of them, and we're talking. But, you know, I'm not dwelling yet. I'm not comfortable yet. I make my way into the bedroom, and I put on those pants. Elastic, you know, because dinner's coming. And put on that shirt. I'm dwelling. I'm comfortable. And so, you know what? You have never seen me in that outfit. I just couldn't do it. I just, you know, you go, whoa, you're one of my pastors and you look like that. I'm just comfortable. I'm dwelling. It's comfortable. It's the Spirit of Christ dwelling. Is he comfortable in every room in your life, in every closet? Does he have access? That's what that word means. Is he comfortable? Does he have access? That's what he says. If in fact the Spirit of God dwells in you, anyone who does not have the Spirit of Christ does not belong to him. And if you're here today and you say, I'm not sure, then he's not. Because he will make it sure. He will affirm in your spirit. You'll know that you know. And I can't explain that. It's spiritual. But he confirms it in your spirit that you are a child of God. You know, and if you're not sure, if you're undecided, man, what a great opportunity to talk with someone about it. Maybe somebody who you know is here or someplace else, and they know what that means to be indwelt by the Spirit of God. If you're in Christ, you've got the Spirit of Christ. Anyone who does not have the Spirit of Christ does not belong to him, meaning Jesus, the Spirit of Christ, right? But if Christ is in you, although the body is dead because of sin, the Spirit is life because of righteousness. There's a new righteousness you have. The righteousness of Christ is not your own. You do something right, it's because you're walking in the Spirit. And Christ in you has done something right. And you say, thank you, Lord. That was awesome. I wouldn't have done that. I wouldn't have said that. I wouldn't have been that selfless. I wouldn't have been that kind. I wouldn't have gone that second mile. But you're dwelling in me. You're comfortable in me. You're leading me. Your word says these things, so I'm doing it. Thank you. If the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ Jesus from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who dwells in you. And that's, there's layers to that. Jesus is coming back. And your body, maybe many of us are saying, oh yeah, stop talking about my body. I don't like my body. But you know what? It's going to be raised. You're going to have a new body, transfigured body. And it's going to match up with the Spirit that is now in you if you're a believer. The Spirit dwells in those who are in Christ. Let's look at Jesus speaking in John 14 again. If you love me, you will keep my commandments. The word keep means guard and be guided by. You know what that's like? If you're a parent, if you've ever had a parent, they give you instruction. You love them. You do what they say, even when they're not looking. That's what Jesus says. If you love me, you will keep, you will guard these instructions in your heart. You'll be guided by my commandments. And I will ask the Father, and He will give you another helper. The word another means one just like me. But Jesus was in physical, human, flesh and blood when He was speaking to them. To be with you forever. Not until you blow it. Doesn't matter. Forever. Even when you and I struggle. What's His name? Even the Spirit of Truth. Whom the world cannot receive. Meaning people in the world. Who don't know Christ, who haven't come to that place that Susan defined and explained and Tammy defined and explained, and many of you come to that place, just moving along. You knew there was a challenge. You knew there was a struggle. You know that you didn't know God, but you really didn't know that till the back end, going, whoa, now that I know God, I know I didn't know God then. The world cannot receive Him because it neither sees Him nor knows Him. But you know Him. Notice this. For He dwells with you. Jesus says, I'm with you. And will be in you. So the Spirit, who's the very presence of Christ, is in a believer. People say, well, Jesus is in my heart. And you ask, what does that mean? Oh, get out! A little kid will say, oh, get out! You know, it's going to explode. Well, they're talking about my will, my being, my spirit. The Spirit of Christ is in me. And he's saying to these guys, He's with you, but He will be in you. You know what? That happened at Pentecost. The Spirit of God indwelt them. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. And He did. Yet a little while and the world will see me no more, but you will see me. Because I live, you also will live. In that day, you will know that I am in my Father and you in me and I in you. Listen to that. Again, the Trinity. And again, he goes, you're going to be in me. I'm going to be in you. We're going to be walking this journey together. In a supernatural way, how does a spirit come to dwell in a believer, those who are in Christ? We'll close with these two verses. It's so important. And the rest of this chapter, the Spirit is mentioned over and over and over again. We're going to learn a lot about the Holy Spirit. Notice Paul writing to the church at Corinth. Or do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit? Wow. It's like we're a vessel. We're a temple, a dwelling place. For the Holy Spirit of God, whom you have from God. So people say, well, how do I get the Holy Spirit? God gives Him to you. You don't get Him. Nobody else gives Him to you. You don't go through a class and get Him. Nobody prays a prayer over you and you get Him. You get Him from God. The Holy Spirit given to you from God. And you are not your own. You are bought with a price. So glorify God in your body. Wow. We're not our own. Right? Ransomed. Paid. A precious price. Not gold or silver. Jesus says, I'm giving up my life so you can have new life. I'm going to dwell in you. I want to be comfortable. I want to abide in you. I now live in you. And then, listen to this. These four things are so key in Ephesians 1:13. And you also were included in Christ. Oh, that's so important for every one of us here. This is how you will know if you are included in Christ. That you heard the word of truth. A lot of people claim to have truth and to tell you, maybe even in religious ways, how to know God. The gospel of your salvation. The word gospel means good news. It's what we've been studying for 23 and a half years, but in particular the last 4 or 5 months through the book of Romans. The gospel. And what do we learn early on? There's a righteousness apart from the law. There's a righteousness found only in faith in Christ Jesus. And then the scripture began to unwind for us. Look at the bad news. You have suppressed the truth of God. You, mankind, all of you. And instead of worshiping the Creator, you worship created things. But at one point, one day, someday, in the past, notice, you heard the word of truth. The good news of how to be saved. How you can be saved. Then you did something. You believed in Him. Because the good news, the gospel, points to Jesus and what He did for you. And at that moment, your heart, your mind, your very being is quickened by God. He's involved in all of this. And we'll see that as we continue to unfold chapter 8. And you just believe. You don't say, I need to know more. In that moment, you know what you need to know. I'm separated from God. And there's nothing I can do to bridge that. But right now, I'm believing by faith alone with all my heart, Jesus bridged that. I deserve to be separated from God for all eternity. Jesus went on the cross, was separated for a short period of time because God put on him sin and the penalty of sin. And so the Father could no longer look upon his Son. The Son cried out, my God, why have you forsaken me? And then he got it. He remembered for you and for me. And you believe in him. And what he did was for you. And in that moment, the scripture says, you were marked in him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit. Jesus said to his disciples, the Spirit's going to come. He's going to indwell you. And you and I might say, well, we know how it happened to them at Pentecost. How does it happen for you and I today? Right here. You're included in Christ when you hear the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. Having believed, that's all you do. But John, don't I have to believe, submit, surrender, stake your life on it. He did it for me. In that moment, you change. What happens? The Spirit of God marks you. He seals you. You know the glad bags? Yellow and green? You put them together. What color does it become? Purple, I don't know. But you know, here's what they say. Hermetically sealed. That's really impressive. No idea hermetically what that means. The phlebotomist could tell us. She said, I'm a phlebotomist. I spelled it. And she said, no. We haven't done that. I go, then you write it. Hermetically sealed. You know what? The Spirit of God says, I seal you and I mark you. You're sealed forever. And I mark you as owned now by God. The Spirit of God, the Spirit of Christ lives in you. I mark you, you're mine. The devil, you're out. And so from the outside, he pursues and looks to oppress. But in the inside, he does not own. He cannot be resident anymore. You believed, and the Spirit of God indwelt you and sealed you. And you've begun a journey. You're born anew by the Spirit. And that journey, for many of us in this room, we've just begun. And for many, we're decades along. And we're being sanctified. And we're growing. We're learning to love, and we are loving. And the Spirit of truth indwelling and teaching us, and we're being guided. We're living this life, yielding to the Spirit, because we belong to Jesus. And if you're here today and you're saying, John, that's not me. But if there's a pressing in your heart, says, but I want to believe, I need to believe, I get it. Would you indicate that on the connection card? In a few moments, many people fill that out. Our church family uses that to let us know how we can intercede for them and other things happening in their life. One of the pastors will follow up with you, connect with you, one-on-one on your terms, here in your home at a coffee shop, and say, let's talk. It's the most important message that you need to understand and know, because it may be that God is drawing you. And if he is, he wants you to understand the gospel, the good news. And then you look to see, is this your opportunity to believe on him? You got to know. You got to understand what to believe, right? I believe, and you understand nothing. That's not belief. True belief. For those of us who are in Christ, who belong to Christ, may this good news encourage you, inspire you, just continue to let the Spirit of Christ dwell in you, abide in you, be comfortable in you. Enjoy that walk, that relationship. Father, I just thank you for your truth. I thank you, Lord, in this journey. You don't leave us alone. You've indwelt us. You've sealed us. You put a great teacher. You put your very presence, the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of Christ in us. And Lord, when we walk together, oh, how much strength and help. When we are in the midst of the struggle, like Paul, with our flesh, to be honest and authentic, and Lord, to encourage and build up and teach the Word of God to one another. Continue, Lord, to let that Spirit of truth and of help rise up. in our hearts in this church, that you might be honored and glorified so that we might please you. That's the only way it says we can please you. We're saved. We're redeemed. Ransomed by Jesus. We believe by faith. So we're in the family. But all of us know there's times we don't please our parents. The scripture says it right here. There's times we don't please you. It's because we're not walking in the Spirit. The Spirit of truth. May He be comfortable as He dwells.